Yeah, beautiful track there, Cuckoo Yalanji Girl. That's Adrian Thomas here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, yarn up with the bally one here, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. And the First Nation Radio Station is BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So have your say, yarn up strong, your mob, too deadly. Going to catch up over yarn very soon with Barry Fakwandi, and he's with the ATSID NQ. That's the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Disability Network. That's in Queensland. So talk about that, and big shout out to First Nation mob there across this country, across the state, in regard to disability, and that the support and help is here with you, reaching out for you. So reach back and get involved, and help us help you. That's what it's all about. Some news here coming through with Adam Goods, absent from the AFL Hall of Fame. It's a national shame, is the statement here from the Jai Bednall. That's news.com.au. And the story here is my one-year-old son was chasing a ball across the playground at Bondi Beach this week when a tall man with long, graying hair began offering him encouragement. "Good kicking, mate," he said as he stopped the ball from rolling away and sent it back to my son's direction. "Very good." As my eyes wandered upward, I was surprised to see it was a former AFL superstar, Adam Goods, cheering on my boy. It was the type of interaction I'm learning as a new parent isn't always the norm in those environments, as many opt to keep their focus locked on their own children and share awkward smiles when they inevitably collide with someone else's. It was the smallest glimpse into what anyone who has encountered the now 41-year-old Sydney Swans legend will tell you. He's just a good bloke. It's what makes the revelation Goods has knocked back an offer to be inducted into the Australian Football Hall of Fame at best, really. Really sad, and at worst, a nation shame. The Herald Sun revealed on Tuesday the two-time Brownlow medalist and dual premiership winner had told the AFL he wouldn't accept the honour because of the way he was booed out of the game towards the end of his 372-game career. As a footballer, Goods ticks every box you'd want from a Hall of Famer. He is on a short list of players who could comfortably play every position on the field. Enjoyed a remarkably longevity in the game and scaled in its highest peaks. But his final years were blighted by controversy as an unprepared footy community really grappled with this issue of racism. If we've learnt anything in the past 12 months after George Floyd's death sparked a new level of reflection and understanding about the issues faced by black people across the globe, it's that Goods has landed on the right side of history. And so, beautiful shot here in the news here. And the AFL realised it, Albert, too late when its 18 clubs issued an undeserved apology to Goods in 2019, saying Adam, who represents so much that is good and unique about our game, was subject to treatment that drove him from football. The game did not do enough to stand with him and call it out. Failure to call out racism and not stand up for one of our own let down all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander players, past and present. Big shout out my brother Adam Goods, and always a winner in my book. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation on National Talk Black. That daily number 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarn show, BBM 9.7. I remember the day. We'll be right back.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Yarrabah is paradise, and I can vouch for that. My beautiful trip over to Yarrabah yesterday and caught up with Daryl Murga. Dr. Daryl, it is. Hope you're well, my brother. If you want my bank details, I'll text it to you, cuss, too deadly. And also a big shout-out there to Brian Murga, caught up with the brother there, and also the mob there at Mullingulpi. We'd catch up there with Dwayne Mundraby, thank you. Victor Bulmer. And also caught up with Helen Tate, big shout out, and all the Rangers over there, two deadly mob. It's a beautiful visit, and Yarrabah's looking deadly as always. And that is paradise. So like I said, I can vouch for that. Good morning to you, mob. Hope you're well. Have you say Yarnup Strong here on National Talk Black. Yarnup with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, Yidinji Country, BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Going to catch up with Yarn now, deadly brother. We got Trevor Pryor on the line. Trevor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good Trevor. Like I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, too deadly, my brother. It'd be a good yarn, let me tell you. It'd be good yarn.
True, my brother. It'd be deadly yarn.
My brother, thank you for coming to the program. First of all, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, brother. So I'm Pryor, obviously. Mm. My dad's Trevor Pryor. So he was born on Palm Island in 1937. But okay. Our bloodline is Birrugubba.
Yes.
Birrugubba tribe. And the clan groups, Juru, Naro, which is Sunday Island. Juru is Bowen area. Gia Proserpine. But his mother is Kanju. She was stolen generation from Cohen, which is young.
Yes.
And that's on my dad's side. My mum's Anawin from New South Wales. That's the Widders family.
All right, brother.
Dean Widders, yeah. So that's my bloodline, brother.
So deadly footprint there, brother. Across two states.
Deadly footprint. Deadly.
My brother, what hat do you wear in regard to the JOB, bro? What work are you doing?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm actually a cultural practice coordinator at the Townsville University Hospital.
Okay, brother. And how are you travelling? Yeah. You going good with that?
Yeah, good, my brother. It has been really good. When I started 3 years ago, the training wasn't mandatory.
Yes.
And I wrote about three briefs up to exec to get it endorsed back to mandatory because,
good.
Brother, 30% of our consumers are Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander.
Yeah, there
and
it is.
This training needs to be mandatory. So this year, it's now mandatory.
Good,
so
brother.
Big win.
Yeah. Big win. Kicking goals, aren't we, brother? And look, it's we saw a lot of doors to close and open and also closing the gap, you know. Every win is a big plus for us, isn't it, for our mob?
That's it, my brother. Because when you look at it, we've got 10 years now, you know. Hmm. 2031, they want to close that life expectancy gap. So, you know, we've got a really work together now and try to get this thing across the line, you know?
Yes, exactly. Now, you're a bit of a muso too, Trev.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, I play in a band called Two Jam Deadly.
Two Jam Deadly.
Yeah. We're a duo, another Aboriginal fella.
And what's his name, bro?
His name's Nathaniel Sura.
Okay, brother.
So he's from Palm Island, Wolgamon.
Yes,
boy.
Yes.
So it's just him and I, and we all use a drum machine.
Yeah,
and
deadly.
Two guitars.
All right, fantastic, brother. Because I'm just trying to think now, because I come across you just recently. Where was it, brother?
Oh, that was in Cairns.
Was it at
Barry
the...
Citrix?
Who's that, sorry?
Was it Barry Citrix 60th?
It was too, my brother, yeah. And you borrowed 50 off me that night too, my brother. You borrowed 50 off me, I remember that.
Yeah, good.
That's right. Big shout out to Barry Cedric. We just finished playing his deadly track there, Yarrabah's Paradise. And look, he deadly brother, and he celebrated his 60th. That's where I saw you. I do recall running was MC there for his for Barry's 60th, and you were one of the performers there, eh, my cuss?
That's it, brother. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I never played guitar for him for 35 years.
Yeah.
You know, when he first wrote that song, Yarrabah Rangers, and I was playing guitar. We were young fellas, you know, in our 20s.
Yeah.
And he came up this year to Townsville for our survival day.
Yeah.
And he was the main artist. Mm. When they told me he was there, I ring him up. He said, brother, come play lead guitar for me.
And he did?
Yeah, that was deadly. So him and I had the best time.
Reminiscing, brother.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful, it. Brother. And look, and even that, brother, when we talk about music, I mean, that's a powerful vehicle for networking. As you travel this country, you run into mob and you make that connection, and then a blast from the past is, comes to the future, doesn't it, bro?
That's it, brother. We played at Mount Isa in the weekend.
True, bro.
From Concurry, yeah. I said hello to you.
Big shout out to your mob there. Yeah, true. Oh, that's Delhi, my brother, you know. So so you'll travel. How's it work around your work then, being a muso, brother?
Yeah, no, well, with COVID slowed us down a bit.
Okay.
But we found, just being a duo, it's easy for us to get into places to play because pubs and clubs that can't afford big bands, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But a duo,
yeah.
And the sound that me and my brother give, you know, we give like a full bounce sound, you know, when we play. So, and it's good. Yeah.
Well, jam so deadly. Of course it's good, brother, jam deadly.
Yeah.
So what about children, brother? You got children, and do they jam?
Yes. Yeah. Look, my sons play really good as well. Yeah, they're really good guitarists as well. I don't know where they get it from.
Yeah, it must be the mother.
Yeah.
So, how old are the boys?
Yeah, my eldest boy is 31 this year.
Okay.
And the other boy is 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they're good guitarists.
Okay,
yeah,
and do they play like in a band or duo or solo? Or they make money out of it, or what, bro?
Every now and again, my sons and I will do something.
Okay.
You know, they'll jump on with me, we go and play somewhere. Yeah,
deadly. Look, it's, like I said, that too is a good, a glue for a relationship, father and son, you know, using
that
as a vehicle, you know, brother. It's just like when you're taking your boy fishing or something, or, you know, or you sign him up for his first football game and you played football all your life and now it's your boy, you know, your boy's turn. That's what it's all about. And we're doing our bit as fathers, aren't we, brother?
That's right, my brother. That's exactly right.
And very important. Too deadly, my brother. Well, great catching up with you, my brother. So all the best to you and your mob there, and big shout-out to Townsville Mob, and keep doing what you're doing, my brother.
Yeah, brother, just one other quick one.
Yeah, brother, go ahead.
I'm on the board of directors of the Ronald McDonald House Charities in North Australia.
Okay,
and,
yes.
And we were nominated for the Queensland Reconciliation Awards.
Oh.
And we took out the award there on Tuesday night.
Oh,
and,
what deadly.
That's a big recognition for the Ronald McDonald House, you know.
Yes.
We get a lot of our mob, a lot of our sick kids coming here.
Yeah.
And so we've made that place cultural safe for our people.
Oh, beautiful.
And brother, they've been recognised.
Oh, that's lovely, brother.
All the hard work that they've been doing, the staff there.
That's lovely.
My brother. So I've seen since I've been on the board, 7 years, I've seen a big shift.
Yeah, beautiful,
know?
Yep.
In that, brother. And I'm glad that they were recognised on Tuesday night where they won that award. Yeah.
See, it shows you that teamwork makes the dream work. It's a team effort, you know what I mean, to driving something like that forward, and to get recognised, you know, is a bonus, and then it just highlights the importance of the movement, the organisation, and what you're doing, brother.
That's it, my brother. That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations. How many board members?
Yeah, so we've got 10 board members there.
Yep.
And a lot of them are lawyers and, you know, bank officers and, you know. So
all walks of life,
So they made sure they appointed a First Nations persons on the board because sometimes, brother, we get up to 7% of our occupancy that are the kids that have come there are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander.
Yeah, look, it's a Ejaculate disease cancer, brother, and, you know, it doesn't discriminate, does it? So it's good to have a black face there and represent our people going through that yucky disease, brother.
Well, I know, my brother,
That's powerful. Yeah. That's congratulations there, brother. So what happens there in regard to that award? I mean, do you fly down to the award ceremony night or have you received a trophy or funds?
We received it. Yeah, the Premier's office ran it, Queensland Premier. So they ran it here in Townsville this year.
Good.
And that was announced there on Tuesday night.
Yeah, see, Townsville are getting everything.
Oh, we're getting everything. But
State of Origin, a lot. Yeah, shut up. We can't find us Queensland. We're hoobilies up here. I'm going to come camp at your place because no more accommodation in Townsville at the moment, is there?
Yeah, that's right.
Dude, did you happen to get tickets for that?
Brother, I missed out. I gave my credit card numbers.
You
follow now? Make sure you ring up and get it. They both try, but nothing.
See? Flog them kids. Shut up.
Yeah, the kids will be fast on them things. See, I'm not. So they're there, but they still couldn't.
Yeah, there you go. Trevor Pryor living in Townsville, sitting at home in a lounge, watching State of Origin in Townsville. Well, how?
That's Well, how? That's wrong.
Beautiful, my brother. Listen, congratulations on your winning there with Ronald McDonald. That's fantastic. Yes. Congratulations in the job that you do in regarding Townsville Health there, my brother. And keep jamming. Keep jamming. Yep. And we'll yarn soon, Trevor. You'll pop up somewhere, won't you, brother?
That's exactly right, brother. We'll cross our paths again.
We will, my brother. You stay deadly, eh, cuss?
You too, eh?
See you, bro.
All right.
Deadly Young, there, Trevor Pryor, brother from Townsville, and wearing many hats and a real go-getter. And big shout out to the Townsville mob there. Yeah, you mob are getting everything. You know, you got the Cowboys down there, you got State of Origin down there, winning awards down there. Two Deadly, your mob represent. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program. It is National Talk Black and taking you right to 12 noon Queensland time. 30 minutes, your mob. Have your say.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark Aran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We are the Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, Aboriginal people.
Yeah, Deadly Track there, my people, Chris Phillips, love that Deadly Track. This is your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Deadly Program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Digi Country, BBM, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, today we're going to catch up with Daniella Rochford, First Nation sister, renowned Australian poet, wordsmith, and licorice on the line. We've got Daniella. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, sister?
I'm based in Collie in Western Australia, but I'm originally from Broome.
Broome, all right. And let the mob know who you mob and where you're from, my sis.
All right. Well, I'm from the Yaru, Bardi, Bunuba and Jaru tribes in the Kimberleys.
Yes.
That's my people.
And Deadly Footprint there, my sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're a poet and you've got a poem to share with us, No More Shame. So share that poem with us, my sister, and then let's talk about it.
All right, no worries. No More Shame. My mind was like a pressure cooker, ready to explode. I tried to find a middle ground just so I could cope. Sometimes I thought it would be cheaper if I just lived on the streets, but was constantly reminded that I've hungry mouths to feed. Motherhood consumed my life every minute that went by, but when I was alone at night, I would lay in bed and cry. I wanted to reach out to someone, but I truly felt too shame. I wanted to seek some help so I could release all my pain. I wanted to heal my open wounds of yesterday's war cries and close my battle scars, so all my anxieties die. I'd put on a brave front to face the outside world, but behind my closed doors, I was the scared little girl who's kept a secret until now for the fact I was too shame, drowning in my own tears because I thought I was the one to blame. And I never shared this with anyone in case I looked too weak. So I kept walking paths of self-destruction with a past that haunted me. So after 41 years, I finally found the courage to speak up. I stopped drinking the fear that was poured out to me by my rapist's cup. In the most darkest of moments, I looked my demons in the face and made a life-changing oath that only I got to win this race. And to help those who were also raped, that they are not to blame, to help them all find their voices and no more feel too shame.
So deep, my sister, so deep. I've just taken on your words, very, very deep, and using poems, poetry, as your vehicle to release this hurt and this anger. And you've done that, and you continue to do that, my sister.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when we find that inner strength and we find our voices, I think it's important for us to be able to use, you know, that strength to talk about it. Like, we need to talk about, you know, this kind of trauma to heal. You need to be able to start that healing process. I think with me, I didn't want to give my perpetrator any more power over me. And therefore, I just started to talk to, you know, and get my story out.
And, sister, some people use song. Some people use art. Yeah, some people... I may run 10Ks every morning, whatever the case may be, but you use whatever tool, whatever vehicle to make yourself feel safe and to release that burden, yes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You need to be able to find that certain comfort where you could, you know, release all that pain, because it's something that you don't want to keep in, you know, all bottled up, like I said.
Exactly.
You know, my mind was like a pressure cooker, so... the more you hold it in, the more it's going to just explode one day, and you don't really want that to happen.
And you know what, my sister, for your sake, your situation, poetry is your medicine, and you've done this. It's healed you and made you stronger. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Poetry is definitely one of my passions that I have used to, you know, get my story out, like I said, but also express myself in a deep way where people can actually, you know, they can grasp what I'm going through or what I have been through, and take that on board as well for themselves if it benefits them.
And look, we think of our loved ones we've lost along the way who couldn't find a vehicle or medicine to help them. And so your message is quite clear that there is support, there is help, and you can do what you need to do to help yourself, find your medicine. And that's the message I'm picking up from you, Daniela.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we want to be able to help those who are still stuck in that, you know, that mental state where they can't come out and talk about it, because sexual abuse is a very taboo subject to talk about, and amongst our people we find it too shame to talk about, not just us, but, you know, in the mainstream world where people, they find it hard to talk about something that's, you know, it's such a hard subject too.
Of course it is. And it is a hard subject and hard to talk about, but it's very sad. It is out there, and the perpetrators are care factor zero. And so we need to stamp it out, and we need to do it together. And by you sharing your poem with us here, like so, and you using poetry as your medicine, it just shines a light on the light at the end of the tunnel, on healing, making things right for the individual, for the victim, yes?
Yeah, like, we want to be able to help those who still haven't come out of their cocoon, out of their comfort zone. You know, they want to stay stuck in that pain, which is, like I said, it's really hard to talk about rape, you know.
And yes,
it's something that you don't want to tell anybody, you know, because you are too shy, you know, you're too shame, and you do, a part of you do actually feel like you are to blame, and it's, you know, you were innocent. We need
and
to
you are innocent.
Continue. Yeah, you
You're
know,
a victim.
You need to continue to remind people that they're not to blame for the perpetrator's actions, you know.
Exactly. So you're a mother now, are you, Daniela?
I'm a mother of six. My children
mother
are all grown
six.
Up now.
Okay, beautiful.
But like I was
That's
saying,
a basketball
you know,
team with one on the bench there, sister.
yeah, I started very young.
and
don't
has
walk
you,
around and broom now.
Exactly. And you must have a beautiful relation with your children after what you've been through.
Yeah,
and then,
my kids,
you know,
my kids are quite understanding.
Yep.
You know, they know that what I've been through was quite traumatic and very.
And you shared it with them, did you?
Yeah, I told my children when they were, you know, in their teenage years what I'd been through. I just needed them to understand.
And also,
you know,
to be careful.
Yeah, and my children, they know exactly how protective I was.
Yep.
You know, I was overprotective because I didn't want them to get hurt the same way I did. So.
Yeah, darling. That's fantastic. I mean, beautiful what you're doing. You are a very strong woman, and yes, you was a victim, but no more. You've rose above it. You're living a beautiful life and reared up six beautiful children, and you are living your life, my sister.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just use my poetry as a way to, you know, raise awareness for, you know, rape survivors, and, you know, also mental health, suicide prevention, you know, child advocacy. So I just use my voice to, you know, help those who are still, you know, suffering in that part.
Exactly. Well, you shared your poem here with us on National Talk Black, which goes across the country through black media, so fantastic. Are you out and about? Do you go to functions as such? Do you put your hand up to be a poet at a function to read poems? And do you do that, my sister?
Yes. Sometimes, you know. I've also been on air with America, you know, Canada, London, so just putting my voice right out.
Good.
To help others who are, you know, worldwide.
Powerful.
True.
Good on you.
Yeah.
So, you know, there it is. So you are the shining light, you know, to what you've been through, but how you came through the atrocity, what has happened to you, and you're standing above it, and you are flying, your wings are flying, and it's powerful what you're doing, and you need to keep doing it because there are people out there, women, children, or even men in some situations, you know, who need to hear what you're doing to better yourself and be strong and rise above it. And it's powerful what you're doing, sister.
Yeah, because my brother, he was also raped as a child.
He
was raped by a Roman Catholic priest. And he, even he had this, you know, where he would go into his shell and he wouldn't say anything about it because he felt ashamed. And so that was also a lesson for me. I didn't want to be like that anymore.
Yeah.
So, and that's why in my poem where I said, you know, I made a life-changing oath that only I get to win this race.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to let the my grandfather take power over me anymore because he was the one that, you know, raped me for 8 years.
So sorry, so, yeah, darling. Know. And when you look at it, it shows how powerful words are. And just in a poem, it hits home, you know, and it empowers and opens up eyes, hearts, spirits for people to strive for a better life, my sister.
Yeah, I think for everybody, we want to be able to build our spirit, to be strong so that we can survive.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't want to live in a world that is always full of sorrow if we keep paying daily visits back to our past. I think that's why we need to heal. We need to start that healing journey and come out and talk about it. And I think it's really important to do that because we all have a right to live a happy life.
We do. My sisters, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. You are a true angel. And keep doing what you're doing. Share your story, share your poems, and lift other people up. You become the wind beneath their wings. So thank you, my sister, and all the best to you. Please do keep in touch and keep doing what you're doing, my sister. All the best, Daniela.
Thank you. Bye.
See you, sister. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, beautiful sister there, Daniela Rochford, her name is, renowned Australian poet, wordsmith and literary. And look, she's a victim of rape, and she rose above it by using poetry as her medicine. And to all our mob out there, to everybody out there who's been through some dramas in their life and some horrific dramas, find the vehicle, find the medicine for you. Reach out. There are people out there reaching out. You got to reach back. Help is there. This is your daily program. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation. 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, with Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yamamala, that's Yoti Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob and make it a quick one. We've got about 8 minutes left on the program. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. You can always text us a message or query 045-714-0550 or our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yeah, and with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right the 12 noon Queensland, which is just around the corner, and got the news coming up here very soon. Yeah, big shout out Townsville, holding the first state of origin for 2021 in Townsville. And look, it's the first time it's ever happened. And they got the second game down there in Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium, then the third one in Sydney, New South Wales. So it's fantastic that the Queensland have got support for both games in Queensland. But we'll see how we go. Here's a bit of news here from News Corp Australia Sports Newsroom. Indigenous Sports Month, Josh Adokar reveals why All Stars concept means so much to him. Josh Adokar has an unmistakable laugh to go with his unmistakable smile. The Fox story begins in Sydney's Redfern and Doonside, but has taken the proud Widgery and Gungunji man to premiership glory in Melbourne for the Storm. Adokar tells Fatima Kodo about the sacrifices his young mum made to give the premiership winners a better life. And my family is from Wellington, New South Wales, and that's Widgery mob. And my dad's family is from Yarrabah, that's just outside Cairns, and the Gungunji mob. I have strong connections to both, but I grew up in Redfern. I grew up all over Sydney, but I spend a little time in Doonside. That's where my dad's family lives right now, and my mum's family live in Redfern. I moved from Doonside when I was about 5 years of age with my mum. Mum moved away just for a better life for us kids. She wanted to move away from all the drama out west and give my sister and I a better life. I do remember some of my time out west. It was real hectic, a lot of violence, drugs, alcohol, that kind of stuff. I think mum and dad were caught up in all that stuff, like partying and that, and mum wanted to move away from all that stuff when we were kids. She would have been around 27 when we moved from there. She told me when she was 21, it was a big sacrifice. She made a tough decision, but she put us kids first. Being Koori, I felt like I belonged to something. And, you know, we as Indigenous people, we've lost a lot of our culture in terms of learning, your language, your dance, all those traditional things. And it means the world to me. I like putting smiles on people's faces, especially of Indigenous kids. And being Indigenous, it is pretty tough when you're growing up. We go through a lot of things. Other kids don't have to. But being Koori is special. I love it, he says. And the Indigenous All-Stars is probably the only time we get to really connect with other Indigenous people, with Indigenous players in the NRL too. We learn to do that war cry. We learn a bit about our language as well. And before we do the war cry, I'll say a little bit in my language. It's something that I would never ever learn in school. I just think how the All-Stars have given us an opportunity to learn a bit about that, and a little bit of a massive for me. It's massive for myself. It means in the future I can teach my kids language and show them that I know a bit about my language. It means I can share stories with them too. The All-Stars are just so special, and I love being it. And he lines up for the New South Wales side up against the Queensland Maroons, happening tomorrow, Wednesday night. So there it is. May the best team win. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules, and be strong, you mob. And thanks for tuning in to Deadly.